Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
And welcome to the Investor Coaching Show. I am Paul Winkler, talking world of money and investing. That's what we do around here. And today is no different. Listening to Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Okay, today, so one of the things that those of you that know me know that I'm really passionate about, how to fix the way people handle money, the way they handle it throughout their lifespan, but, you know, into retirement, but also investing. And one of the things that I want to do with you today is I have the great pleasure, those of you know, I went to school, you know, took a graduate level set of classes in marriage and family therapy, Trevecca, adding to my financial planning degrees, and got to meet some really great people at Trevecca. And one of them is with me today, Dr. John Kennedy.
Hey, Paul.
So good to see you. And thanks for coming in here. So tell everybody about your background, because you've got a finance background with accounting, I mean, of all things. How did you end up from accounting, being a CPA, to end up getting into the psychology department? And more specifically, one of the things that I think that is really great is your focus on research and understanding of research strategies. And we may get into a little bit of that, because some of the research in so many areas of lives that we try to make decisions, the research should drive everything, but people misread the research so often.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a little bit of an enigma to be sitting here talking about investing and CPA topics and psychology. I started out as a career choice, wanted to be a preacher, and did not have the gift of public speaking. It was pretty bad, actually.
But really?
I had a little bit of a Jonah moment where I got angry and time to go to college.
Jumped in the boat and went the other direction.
It was horrible. It was, in high school, you take a differential aptitude test. So think about me being 17 years old. Uh-huh. I don't know anything about assessment at this point. I think this test is supposed to tell me what I'm supposed to be when I grow up.
It's an
interest inventory. Okay.
Right.
So imagine the vertical axis is art and the horizontal axis is science. It's one of those two. Uh-huh. And all my interests are down in the bottom lower quadrant, sorts of mental health counselor, preacher, social worker, journalist, English teacher. I picked the furthest thing away, the highest on the science and art that was by itself, it was accounting. And I literally circled it like a first grader. And I said, okay, fine. That's what I'll go do. And I went to MTSU in 1980, and said, I want to be an accountant, whatever that is. And that's how I started my journey as an accountant.
An act of rebellion.
It was an act of rebellion. It was a full-fledged Jonah moment. I'm getting on the boat. I am out of here. And so it's interesting. In fact, can I give a little shout out?
I'm
actually looking for somebody. If you can find him, his name is William Utley.
Okay.
He taught in Lebanon High School in the 1980s, late 70s. He was the algebra, physics, trig teacher.
Uh-huh.
And I think he literally saved my life as a junior.
Wow.
I was having a really bad day at that time,
uh-huh,
and I had my head on the desk,
uh-huh,
which was very uncharacteristic of me. And
uh-huh,
he was very kind. He said, Mr. Kennedy, you might want to just sit up. You might learn more. And I said, why? Why bother? Nobody in this class cares about anything. They're all making fun of you. Why bother? And I laid my head down. You don't know this side of me, do you?
No. This is funny.
You opened up a can of something here that's strange, but
yeah.
But he was so kind. He, as a teacher, he came after class. He was very patient, and we were studying functions. Okay,
uh-huh,
f of x. Remember those in high school trauma,
mm-hmm,
algebra?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I just couldn't get it.
I usually traumatize people with statistics, but you can go and do it with functions. That's
there,
fine.
There it is. So I just didn't get it, but you know. Fast forward all through going to counseling school, becoming a PhD,
uh-huh,
teaching statistics at Trevecca, maybe maybe second, third semester I taught it.
Uh-huh.
I'm at the board and I'm drawing a multiple regression formula and trying to explain like a break-even formula, which is just regression, slope of a line.
Right.
And it and this moment comes on and says, this is f of x. This is functions. And I really literally almost broke down thinking of I'm teaching this stuff that I'd never understood.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say I shouldn't be here, I think it's very much a God thing got me here. It's not something I set on my radar and said, I'm going to be a statistics teacher one day. And no, right. Absolutely not.
Well, and that's the thing about, you know, when I talk about investing, statistics comes in all the time. You know, standard deviation to measure risk and covariance and correlations to measure how do you put a portfolio together and those types of things. And most people don't understand it at all. And it's really critical because that is how you can reduce the return or the risk of a portfolio and maximize expected return is through that. But most people are clueless that it, and I find even the financial advising community is clueless about it. And quite often it's because they don't know a lot about economics and a lot about statistics and how those things are put together. Now, specifically, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we have had conversations, you and I have had a lot of conversations before with people and just the life phases that they go through and then behaviors and how we actually choose our behaviors and how we act and how the brain, you have this model. And I want you to describe that for people because I think it's fascinating in helping people get to where they want to go because they don't understand themselves very well. And you have cognitive behavioral therapy, for example, and you build on that, on top of that, but kind of describe what it is and how it relates to the people's finances and how to get yourself into a better place in regards to, because a lot of people don't save as much money as they should.
Right.
They don't invest properly when they do save. And then they get to those older years and all of a sudden they look around and go, my goodness, how many years have passed by? I mean, I've even had people that I've worked with that they'll just go, you know, I've wasted all of this time. And a lot of it's because of stinking thinking to actually quote Zig Ziglar.
Right.
It's how we think about money that really affects us so negatively. So talk a little bit about that model, if you will.
Sure. Well, it's working on a little bit of a book this summer. I've been resisting writing anything because I feel like if I write it, it's stating it's all my knowledge. And this is really just stuff I've gathered from lots of sources. I consider myself to be sort of like a bumblebee. I fly around these different flowers, these different relationships in life, and I pick up a little bit of knowledge from them, and I leave some knowledge that I got from another relationship and kind of and confidentially, right? But just knowledge and wisdom that dealing with people in all sorts of situations, as time goes by, I find myself just sharing things and I go, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. I didn't think it up, so I really don't want to claim credit for it. It's really a meta theory. I think of it as a toolbox for organizing the knowledge that we have.
So meta theory, you're taking, it's like an eclectic way of doing things. You pull things from a lot of different sources and you take the best from all these different sources and put it together in one theory that you can use for people.
Yeah, so it keeps, as a therapist, you know this, so we teach students, don't just pull out an intervention I'm going to use the miracle question, for example, now with a client, ask this magic question. If you woke up.
Solutions-focused therapy.
I got to know about solution-focused therapy. I got to know what the balance, the theoretical framework is, stance of the therapist and all, before I use that tool.
Mm-hmm.
So this meta theory came about because I needed something simple that my mind could wrap around that I could also find out that people already knew. So I think perspective is everything.
Yeah, critical.
As a teacher, I don't really give people knowledge. I try to give them perspective, which is just another way of seeing things. I kind of move them seating-wise around the truth that's in the middle.
Yeah.
And if they want to go on the adventure, we'll do a 360-degree rotation. So it's not just let's just move around a circle and see what we see from different angles. Let's go on the top and bottom and side. So it's an infinite number of perspectives of looking at a phenomena, for example, such as attitude towards money.
Uh-huh.
All right. So I'd love to be able to draw it out, but let me see if I can do this verbally.
Yeah,
you take a pen and pencil and see if you can recreate this. Give me a
word picture, and I think we'll be good.
So you've probably played kickball in your life, or you've seen baseball or softball. You know how the bases are laid out.
You got the diamond.
A diamond. Okay, mm-hmm. So if you drew a diamond, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you drew the base lines, which mm-hmm. would form the diamond, the mm-hmm. edges, but you also draw a line from home plate to second base and from third base to first base.
Okay, so we got this. I'm going to draw this out in front of me. So I've got a baseball diamond, and I've got, you know, four corners.
Right.
And normally I'm going to run, you know, to the right.
Doesn't matter which way you go.
I'm going to go to first base, but you're talking about, you know, you taking the line and drawing it straight to second base.
Yeah, draw them all. Draw all the lines.
The lines. Connect everything together.
That's
including
right.
first or home plate to second base.
And you need first and third connected.
And then we need first and third connected
You got a little diamond with a cross in the middle.
Yep.
So if you orient it, it doesn't really matter where you look, but I'm looking at you. So on your left, mm-hmm. that spot over there will be home plate. We're going to put a P.
We're going to put a home plate
put a letter P on that.
Okay, that's going to be P. All right.
Now, as you go down the bottom of your drawing, you're going to put the letter F.
As in feeling.
That's feeling.
I might as well
write them out. Okay.
Home plate is for a baseball player is feeling, but third base is going to be the P.
Okay, so if you go from the P stands for perspective.
Uh huh.
And so then as you go the other way from perspective, you'll at the top of your diagram you'd have thinking. T for thinking.
Okay. All right.
And finally, the final circle would have a B for behavior.
Behavior, okay.
And if you think about it, this is going to represent this. I'm going to mix metaphors, which I'm sure you're not supposed to do. I do it all the time, but you're going to know why this makes sense in a second.
Instead of
bases, I want you to switch. I want you to imagine what you're looking at are four balloons that have been blown up. They're the same kind of material, so mm-hmm. they inflate about the same, and they are attached to one another with a hollow tube.
Okay, so those lines between my bases are more like a straw something
like that.
Think
about a bungee straw. It's very flexible.
A flexible straw.
You could take I could hold on to thinking, and you could take feeling and walk the other way 2 miles, and the balloons would separate, they would stretch, but the tube would not collapse. So basically air flows freely.
Okay.
Amongst all the balloons at all times.
So as the balloons move further apart from each other, the straw stretches and becomes more narrow. But there's still flow between
them.
Yes,
it never cuts off the flow, and this is important.
Got it.
So you're going to know this already, but if I take one of those balloons, just pick one, perspective, and I squeeze it with this system, what happens to the other three?
So the other three, if you squeeze it, are going to get bigger because the air is going to flow out of that one, and it's going to go to the other ones and make those bigger.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, if I take my hands and spray sticky on my hand and grab a balloon and let it tack up so mm-hmm. that it sticks to me and I stretch mm-hmm. my hands, mm-hmm. what happens to the others?
So the other ones are going to get smaller because the volume is going to be sucked out of those into the one that you've got in your hand that has enlarged in size.
That's right. So I call this temporarily relational physics because it's based on physics, right?
Okay.
For every action in nature, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Right.
Air will flow from areas of high pressure to low pressure.
Mm-hmm.
All the things you learned in school, you'll be able to apply. You will already know this. But if you think about this, that's what human beings do. Now, there's a lot more to this. We won't be able to cover it all today, but just the gist of it. For the moment, just kind of take perspective and keep it out of the picture for a second. Let's just talk about thinking, behaving, and feeling.
Okay.
All right. If something horrible happens to you, or I don't know if you had, like you had an animal and your dog ran away, you couldn't find him.
Mm-hmm.
Or heaven forbid he got run over by a car. It'd be horrible, right? Mm-hmm. Where does all the air go, life energy go? Which balloon do you think gets all the energy?
So if your dog runs away, you lose your dog, your feelings are going to be, you know, it's going to be scary.
Yeah.
But behavior also sort of, because I'm going to probably be running like crazy trying to look for my dog, I suppose.
Okay. So while you're running looking for your dog.
But what gave me the desire to go running looking for my dog would probably be I'm thinking the feelings that I'm scared. I'm overwhelmed of the loss.
Right. So all the air is going to be in the feelings, but it's probably only there because you care about your dog.
Absolutely.
So your perspective, mm-hmm. which we'll get to later, mm-hmm. If you don't care about the dog, it's like, so what?
Then it won't go there. Yeah, you know, sure.
Terrible.
That makes
terrible.
Sense. Yeah.
But it's probably going to be in feelings. So if you draw, mm-hmm. like, just draw a big circle there where you have your feelings.
Okay. So make so, my
so
feeling
we know that if that's bigger, what had to have happened yeah. to the other balloons?
I'm not thinking straight.
That's right.
It's so probably going to be a big part
so
of it, right?
So your thinking probably has constricted.
Yeah.
And it's more like, oh, no, what am I going to do? This is horrible. Life will never be okay. And if you'll notice, thinking and feeling, they're across from each other. There's a reason for that. They're very much like a seesaw. When one's larger, the
oh
other
my
one's
goodness,
smaller.
This is so. This yeah, this is you're hitting me here because this is what I think of in terms of like investing.
Yes.
So, you know, so often what happens is you hear something scary about what's going on in China, what's happening in Russia, what's happening
right.
in Washington, D.C., what the president is doing, what the president's not doing. And all of a sudden, those feelings of fear and just anxiety, you know, starts to take over. And then I stop thinking.
Right.
And I am more prone to make decisions that are absolutely...
Yeah.
The opposite of what
I
ought to
get
be
out
doing.
Of the market, right?
Right.
I want to get all
yes.
my money out. I don't want to behave in the market. I want to be dormant. So
yeah,
literally,
for sure.
that's exactly what happens. The feeling balloon gets big. Mm-hmm. The thinking behavior is small. Mm-hmm. So here's the first rule of balloons mm-hmm. of relational therapy. You don't mess with the big one. You don't try to squeeze the feelings down and go, let me tell you why
stop
you shouldn't feel that
feeling.
Way.
You shouldn't feel this way. You shouldn't be upset. You shouldn't be worried. And, you know, you
That's
don't go
right.
and invalidate that, right? It's because you're feeling it, dude.
I've had investor people in my life when I've called up and I've said, hey, look, you know, I'm watching the numbers here and I think I don't want to fall below 175 in my account, this account.
Right, sure.
And they go, oh, but, you know, it's going to come back and you shouldn't feel scared. Don't try to tell an investor what they should or should not feel.
Right.
You will make it worse.
Right, right, right.
What we have to do is we have to make space where the other balloons are. So we have to expand behavior
right.
or we have to expand thinking. If I can make you behave a little bit or think one other new thought, you will have to feel better according to physics. Let me give you a prime example.
Right.
So, real life situation. Had a client, lost a husband. Mm-hmm. They lived about an hour and a half from where I was practicing at the time, off in the country mm-hmm. on this little dirt road, about a quarter mile off the road. Mm-hmm. And client calls me up and says, hey, doc, I lost my spouse and I can't go to work. I can't get out of the house. I can't do anything. I can't go grocery shopping, mm-hmm. nothing. Mm-hmm. Can you help me? I said, well, I be glad to give it a try. When can you come see me? So I'll be there Wednesday. Now, do you hear that? I can't get out of the house. I can't do anything, but all of a sudden they could come, they can drive an hour and a half to see me.
That's right.
So notice the thinking's so small that they can't even recognize it because the emotions are big.
Right.
Lose your husband. That's yes.
Yeah.
Client shows up. I'm talking through this and I go, well, I've got some homework for you, but I don't know if I want to give it to you or not. And I sat there. I said, well, maybe I could. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. That might be bad. After about a minute, she just goes, well, if you don't tell me, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, but if I tell you to do it, it doesn't work. I don't want to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing this therapeutic technique here.
Yeah.
Of go slow.
Right.
And it's related to a specific theory.
It's like a little bit of a takeaway.
Yes. So I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. You live about a quarter mile off the road or something. She goes, yes. I said, you get the paper? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want you to set your clock for in the morning at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I want you to get up, put your muumuu on.
Mm-hmm.
She's a country girl. And your slippers, not fully dressed. Just uh-huh. I want you to shuffle down to the mailbox, get your paper and come back home. And I want you to go right back to bed. But I don't know that you can do this. I'm really worried about telling you to do this. And she goes, oh, I can do that. I said, no, wait a minute. And I mean, I really pushed back. So,
it reminds me of the pendulum. You know, when somebody's all the way this way, you go, let's say, you know, the pendulum is going all the way to 9 o'clock. You go all the way to 3 o'clock on the other side.
Meet you in the middle, right?
And they'll meet you in the middle. Yeah, that's funny.
So she goes back next week.
So true.
And what do you think happened?
So what? She comes back next week.
Yeah, she shows back up with therapy. And she shows up. She crosses her arms.
Yeah.
She goes, well, I
did
your homework.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, she's like, going, I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove you wrong.
I said,
for sure.
What did you do? I said, what did you do? I did what you said. No, I mean, what did you do? And she said, well, I got, you know, set my clock for 8, got up, went, got the paper. I said, did you go back to bed? She said, well, no. I said, why not? I didn't feel like it, but I told you to go back to bed. See, I told you you couldn't do it. I said, now you can't tell me that you can't do what you don't feel like doing.
Right.
You can't tell me that feelings control your behavior and there's nothing you can do about it, because you just demonstrated you did it even though you felt as if you didn't want to do it.
So this is so good, because you know what we find with people is many times they think that their feelings are driving everything.
Well, they are. I mean, that's how we work.
But you can reverse that.
Yes,
is the point that you're making.
Yes, maturity or a change of nature means we don't. Home plate, for example, back in the previous analogy, home plate is not feelings. It doesn't start there. It starts with perspective.
Right.
I'm able to say, this is who. So perspective is all about three things. It's about, like for spirituality, it's about God, self, and others. Mm-hmm. Or it's about the unknown, the past, the microscopic. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win the election in 3040? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Self and others. Mm-hmm. If those aren't in balance, then everything else, thinking, behavior, and feelings are going to try to accommodate to get that in balance.
So what I want to do is let's take a break, and I want to come back and talk about how do we apply this, because so often I find with people that is, you know, they're dealing with overwhelming feelings and they don't know how to get out of the funk that they're in. And they don't know how to get out of the fears and the anxieties and even depressions to some extent. And that all seems to be where you're headed with this.
Yes.
And so often those feelings are driving the behavior in a way. And what you're saying is this can be reduced. Because remember, this is what we're talking about. This is why people fail to save enough money. They fail to invest properly. They fail to do a lot of the things that they know they need to do, but they can't seem to get themselves to do it because the feelings are driving the bus. But what you're saying is you can turn that around and you can and change that and literally affect the rest of your life in a positive manner is really what you're saying.
Absolutely.
And I want to spend some time on that. You're listening to the Investor Coaching Show. I am Paul Winkler. He is Dr. Kennedy, and we'll be back right after this. Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20 plus years experience. They're all degreed planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon. All right, we're back here. This is the Investor Coaching Show. I am Paul Winkler. paulwinkler.com is the website. I am here with Dr. John Kennedy from Tribeca Nazarene University, a place near and dear to my heart. And he is a professor in the psychology department, but also he is, where I met him, is dealing with research and statistics and the math and all the things that I love. So you can imagine I really liked his class an awful lot. So we're talking about this. So just to reiterate for a second, one of the things that we deal with as investors is that it is typically our stinking thinking that we like to say gets us in trouble, but really a lot of it comes from feeling. You know, so the feelings that we have. And you'll hear people say in the sales world that you actually play to emotion and then you try to justify with logic later on. Because if you can get somebody and scare them, you can get them to do what you want to do. And I'm always picking on the investment industry for trying to scare people to get them to do what they want them to do.
Absolutely.
And you also talk a little bit about, you know, you're talking about these four different quadrants, you know, perspective and thinking and behavior and feeling. And if you miss any segment of this, by the way, go back and check out the podcast because you don't want to miss any of this. And I don't want to be reiterating each segment, what we talked about the previous one.
Perfect.
But just start it off that way. But all go right. ahead, talk a little bit about how these interrelate and what you got to do to actually change some of that thinking and behavior.
Very good. So we got to bring a little brain chemistry in here for a second, a little biology for 1 minute. So if you think about the feeling balloon, just like it likes to go, the air likes to go between feeling and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
When my emotions are big, the most readily well-worn path is going to be from there to behavior. I'm going to act out. I call this the mm-hmm. addictive cycle or the fear cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I feel nervous, so I got to go eat some Cheetos. Mm-hmm. I feel scared, I got to go get my money out of the market. That's a natural thing. Two things in my mind, I describe as the limbic system in the brain.
That's the fight, flight, freeze, or foe. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the perspective and thinking, that's the prefrontal cortex. That's the part that goes, okay, I feel scared. I feel the same way I feel when I am in danger, and yet I'm okay. So mm-hmm. I can act. Even though I feel scared, I can act out of thinking and perspective. We have that above animals.
It's like your dad going, use your head, boy.
Yeah, yeah. Except at that age, we don't have that
part of the head is what we want to use, right?
That's right. So the goal would be in investing, as investors, we need to be able to recognize what am I feeling and what am I doing when mm-hmm. I'm feeling that? What's my tendency? I feel anxious when I watch the news, and so I want to go call my stockbroker and say, get me out of the market. So what do I do? I quit watching the news.
Right.
I stop listening to the day by day.
Oh, so many people are so miserable. And I would just tell them, would you just get outside, walk outside, take your shoes off and get the grass between your toes?
Yes. Get grounded. Get back to your, get your body calmed down.
Uh-huh.
And we need that. We need those mirror neurons. We need somebody to talk us off the ledge, so to speak, that we are okay.
Right.
Your 401k is not, you're not taking it out today. You've got 25 years to do this.
Yeah. I lost $5,000. Did you sell? No. Well, you didn't lose.
That's
okay.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So from an investor, I mean, an investment advisor's perspective, we don't want to scare people. We don't want to get them to behave out of feelings. We want to calm the system. So back to my example of my little lady client, if you notice that her thinking was, I can't do anything. Her behaving was, I can't get out of the house. Those were the small balloons.
Right.
When I had her walk to the mailbox, that's a behavior.
Yeah.
And I had her, I expanded her thinking by saying, now you can't say you can't get out of the house because you did. So guess what research shows is the most effective therapy for depression? Cognitive behavior therapy.
Yeah, CBT.
The small balloons.
Well, I was thinking, as you were saying that, I was thinking about the, you know, the times when I've told people, hey, you know, start smiling at people. You know, just start, you know, even though if you don't feel like it, start smiling at people, and you're going to find that somehow all of a sudden your thinking starts to change.
Your body, your mirror neurons, which are wired there forever from birth to death, they connect. You get a little oxytocin, the connection chemical, and you feel much safer. I mean, when babies are crying, we don't talk to them. Say, you know, it's illogical what you're doing here.
Oh, you got to pick them up.
You pick them up. You hold them.
that's
right. Goo goo gaga with their face. that's how you connect with them. And research, people are babies up until they die, with as far as that brain chemistry need for connection.
Oh, and you look at, you know, anytime I'm trying to, there's a good book called Change Your Die. And it talks a lot about that. You know, the first step is getting people together. Getting them in groups and what they found was that when they started putting them in groups, they started talking to each other and they found out that they weren't alone and they actually were having the same feelings in common with other people. And that gave them a sense of belonging, you know? And so, that's so true.
Yep. So in the ultimate question here, we're trying to get to at least scratch the surface on is how do I, as an investor, be able to do the right thing. So if you look at that drawing, the do side of the drawing is the behavior side.
Right.
The being side is on the perspective side.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to get the behavior balloon, so to speak, to be a certain size, I have to manage the three other balloons that are on the in the model.
Right.
There's some other things. Yep. Now, there's some outside sources, and we just mentioned it's worth mentioning. So if the room got super cold with those balloons, what would happen to all those balloons?
Well, they shrink.
They would shrink.
Yeah.
Right. If the room got super hot, they would all expand. Uh-huh. Right. And then we have this whole deal where you have, I've got a set and you've got a set. And maybe when you click your pen for 2 hours when my office across the hall, I start feeling angry. So your behavior is linking to my feeling.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to react out of my feeling and I'm going to scream, Paul, stop clicking your pen. And that makes you upset. So now we have, we take these atoms of, of how these four balloons interact. And now we create molecules. We put things together in relationships, like investor-investee relationship.
Right.
Or advisor-investor relationship.
So when you're talking about these changing the relative sizes and you're trying to affect the feelings and you're trying to shrink that to some extent, but you're not doing it by going, you shouldn't feel that way.
That's right. You don't squeeze the big balloon. Don't try to make
You don't try to make that smaller, as we talked about earlier, but you're trying to, and I'm thinking about perspective, and I may be ahead of you, but when I'm thinking about perspective, one of the things that I do quite often with people, and I'm also playing around with thinking too, and somehow
they're very related. Much
related. Yeah, because when I look at perspective, I look at the Nobel Prize winning research 1990, putting things together that move into similar fashion to increase the expected return and reduce the risk. And then I'm looking at, market efficiency, don't try to stock pick, don't try to market time. And if you can get rid of that, if I can educate you about those things, you're less likely to do them and you'll start doing the right behavior. And then the education is what starts to get you to feel more relaxed. That's kind of my little punchline is relax about money. But
well, the struggle is, though, it doesn't work that way. There's this great book by a scholar named Rogers. It's called Diffusion of Innovation. I stumbled across this in my dissertation research.
Okay.
It's a book about why things get accepted or why things go viral, so to speak. And for example, in countries where water is not plentiful, it's not clean, you'll find that there's a great education effort that says boil your water first so it could be safe.
But change your diet. I mean, that's exactly it.
But they won't
do it. Was insight and fear don't change people.
That's right.
That's fascinating.
The people wouldn't do it. They had this physical feeling that was wrong. So even though perspective sounds like the way I believe something is, that's true. That's cognitive prefrontal cortex.
Okay.
But your sensory body, your limbic system, also sends you information and tells you what's real.
Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors. And confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.